Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, and it's time for your TNA Genesis post-show. It's January 19th, 2025. I am at TheDrillPearl.com over on Blue Sky. And if you believe, then so do we, because we got plenty to talk about tonight of this wonderful TNA Genesis show. Some hits and misses, but I got my friends along with me, as always, to talk about it. First of all, joining me, as always she does, the one, the only, the incredible host of the Weekender podcast.
That's crazy.
Host of the Fightful.com Weekender podcast and the spotlight over on Fightful Overbooked. Steven Jensen joins us as he always does. Hi.
Hey, how's it going? Happy to be here with y'all again. Always great to see y'all and hang out and talk about these big TNA pay-per-views 4 times a year right here on Fightful with y'all. I really enjoyed the show. Some hits and misses as we're going to get into, but yeah, big night also. Mentioned the Weekender, I'll just run off the bat. I am also on the side here watching the People vs. ECW live as well. So I'll be having a episode of the Weekender that's going to cover just this show, the GCW Hammerstein show. It'll be tomorrow, sometime either in the afternoon or evening, but it will be tomorrow on FightfulSelect.com for y'all. And yeah, happy to be here. So thanks for having me. As always, good to see the chat as well.
A TNA story also developing out of that GCW show, which we'll touch on very shortly. But really joining me, the one who always does every single week when we cover the TNA shows on Thursday, the one and only Fantabulous Cresta Starr. How are you, Cresta?
Ni hao, Kai Lan. I'm practicing on my Mandarin since I've been on Red Note. Guys, I'm here. I'm happy. TNA started this year with a bang. I believe you believe in Joe Hendry. I thought this pay-per-view, it's a little slow at times, but overall was really, really good. I was sports entertained. I was sports disgusted at points, but not as sports disgusted as I thought. Shout out to Rosemary and Masha for not putting on a bloody, they put on a stomper. It was great, but it wasn't as bloody, so I could watch it.
And if you want to watch us a little bit longer, how about you drop a thumbs up here on the video? And of course, like us, as you always do, you can also subscribe to the channel here, youtube.com/Fightful, or you can head over to FightfulSelect.com, the best 5, soon to be $6 in the business. Trust me, it's worth it. Plenty of news coming out of TNA tonight, out of Genesis. Also, we mentioned the GCW stuff. Talk about that one sec. But also, if you haven't, and you want to, you can go ahead and donate a super chat. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air, or head over to humperchats.com. That's our other platform where you can drop us a little bit of love and get first in line. Cresta, tell them why, what, how, and when.
You take your fingers or your thumbs, however you use to type, I don't judge, even if it's your tongue, you go to humperchats.com and you put your dollar amount in the dollar box. And then you put your comment amount in the comment box. Myself, Steven Jensen, and Joe Pearl will give you your 2 cents. Our 2 cents make a dollar. And all of that makes it mean that we can keep more of the dollar. So humperchats.com, go there or we'll jump you.
So GCW, because we're actually a TNA post show, but GCW is also holding their People versus GCW show at the Hammerstein Ballroom. If you were someone who caught the pre-show, you may have noticed PCO in the opening Royal Rumble-esque match that they had. Jensen, you want to walk them through some of what happened there, and then we can talk about our reporting over at FightfulSelect.com, since I know you were able to see parts of this, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, I'll paraphrase, but I mean, PCO had the digital media championship on hand in the ring. MLJ, the ring announcer for GCW, gave the microphone to PCO after the match, after he won this rumble that you just brought up. And he essentially grabbed the championship, put it on a chair, took a, was it a hammer? It was like a sledgehammer. And he just started bashing the thing. He missed it a couple times, but he started hitting it there. And then he grabbed the microphone and started what seemed like either a shoot or a work shoot type promo, which I'm interested to see what kind of news we have about this, because he was basically cut off by the feed. They didn't want, like, he was on a rant about how basically it sounded like he wasn't happy with TNA management, and then he got cut off. So I'll let Joel kind of get into what he's got for us.
So this was something that I've spoken about and alluded to quite often on our show, in our Discord, even on my Blue Sky. I said, you know, of all the signings that we're talking about having wrapped up with TNA over the last year, a lot of people didn't remember that PCO was the first official signee for the new TNA. And that was October 2023. Fightful Selected reported that his contract did finish up at the end of this past year. He did not extend. He was supposed to be at the tapings in San Antonio, which is this Thursday. There's a live Impact, and then they're taping again to get them through to whatever's coming up next for them. Probably not going to be attending at this point. This is not part of a program, as we know. This is all something that PCO decided to do at the GCW show, and this was not done with TNA's express written consent. It's the Digital Media Championship, guys. Let's also be very realistic here. It's not a super important title. The last person who held it is actually very important. That's AJ Francis. But let's go back even one more. The guy who held it before that probably brought the most prominence to it, and tonight he won the World Championship. So that's probably the best thing I can tell you about the Digital Media Championship in 2025. I don't know if anyone has anything else to add about the PCO smashing up a title that barely existed.
Yeah.
I think – oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I agree. Those are all fair points.
It's a good undercard title. I mean, like, sometimes you just got to get it out. If there's anything I've learned from working here at FIFO, especially Grapsity, sometimes you got to get your jokes off. You got to get it out. You got to get it out. And, you know, whether it was work, shoot, work, don't work yourself into a brother, Hulk Hogan, XOXO, shoot, Jabroni, Marks. I was sports entertained regardless. I'm very easily sports entertained. The fact that he was speaking fluent English besides grunts, sports entertained. So I'll see where this goes. But the Digital Media Championship got nothing to do with that. Leave that championship. That could go to a Leon. No, not Leon Slater. But, you know, go to somebody who's working for it. Like, you ain't had to do that. He ain't do nothing to you.
I'll leave you with it. Go ahead.
I know you mentioned it, but for anyone who might not understand fully, like, how kind of funny this whole situation is, like, TNA is on at the same exact time that this is happening. So, like, if you're dual screening the shows, you're watching PCO destroying a TNA championship on a GCW show while you're watching a TNA show live. So the whole experience is very strange.
It gets even funnier than all that, because if you're following the weekly show, you saw 2 weeks ago GCW announced PCO for Hammerstein, and people were like, wait a minute, there's a TNA show that night. And then they announced that it was going to be Sammy Callahan and PCO versus the Hardys in a match that was this past week to see if they would be joining the Genesis tag team title match. At that point, it would have been a triple threat. And everyone's like, well, no, because we know PCO is working Hammerstein. We know who's going to win the match. The Hardys will win. And then on top of that, here's the third one. They've been running these 23 vignettes for Sammy and PCO for the last 3-4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And Cresta, you and I have been talking about this. I am certain that it was just Sammy Callahan who was going to beat up PCO and effectively finish up his deal with TNA and then win the Digital Media Championship and do whatever. Like, Sammy Callahan with Digital Media title doesn't hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. It would have been fine. Seems like that's going to be off the table unless they pivot and have someone else be the 23. What do you think about this whole PCO, now we got to pivot because we're covering this weekly? Where does this go in your head?
I mean, you know, AJ Francis is right there. He's going to be in a scumbag. Now AJ Francis is 23. He's the one who destroyed the digital media championship because PCO was a monster and he didn't want any zombie germs on it. To me, I love silly, carny, whatever you want to call it. But AJ Francis is right there. He's that guy. But if not, I do love a good scandalo. And that's exactly what this is to me. To me. Whether it's real or not, I'm sports scandalo right now. So I can't wait to see what happens. I mean, if it was Sami Callihan, okay, that's kind of messed up because now you messing with two people's stuff. If it wasn't and it's still all according to plan, then I got worked, brother.
At the end of the day, TNA could smooth things over with PCO for the one shot, come in, drop the title, we'll do something and just be done with it. Or this is it and they'll just figure out a way out of it because, again, it's a low card title and it doesn't mean as much to most people. But this is just something that started the evening off in a very precarious situation. But let's dig into the actual show. We open up with match-wise. The Busted Open panel was talking throughout the opening, but the big first surprise is having Ashante the Adonis show up from NXT. Ariana Grace had come out and kind of said, you know, still the NXT envoy, and all my best friends are here, which is my favorite bit that she does. And then Ashante comes out, reintroduces himself, and eats a big boot from Jake Something and gets the Black Hole Slam, and that's it. So Jake Something defeats Ashante the Adonis. Cresta, what do you think of Jake Something being all meaty and matty?
I mean, you know, I love a good gout. Also, right when Ashante was out doing an open call, me and in my Discord, we were like, watch Jake Something come out and abuse this man. And that hurt. What? So I was like, oh, it's over. You didn't deserve that, Ashante. But, you know, welcome to TNA. It could have been worse. It could have been Hammerstone. It could have been worse. It could have been worse. So, you know, welcome. I hope to see you around. And maybe the X Division's for you, sir. Wait. I feel like he was in a group with somebody in T. Was he in a group with AJ Francis?
AJ Francis, who then went to Twitter and figured out, hey, where did he get that allow me to reintroduce myself gimmick from? AJ Francis has everyone steal from me.
Oh my God. AJ Francis, you didn't invent everything, please.
Give the man his flowers. Jensen on this Adonis Something match.
I mean, it was a quick one. Jake Something got the one with the Into the Void. I always like seeing Jake Something out there. Always enjoyed his work. Ashante the Adonis, like, it's wild because I remember him wrestling on, like, 205 Live. Like, you know, when I was covering that on the Weekender. And, like, rest in peace to NXT Level Up. You know, I enjoyed that. That is no longer a thing as of right now, so... but yeah, good seeing these guys, you know, out there, but you know, it was a quick one and it wasn't surprising to see Jake Something win.
Yeah, exactly. Simple match. Just a good way to, you know, start off the surprises will be coming and we're going to have some fun tonight. So let's move on. The other match on the pre-show was Frankie Kazarian defeating Leon Slater. I'm glad that this happened. I'm glad that Frankie gets the win here because Leon Slater will learn and grow and it was a clean finish. So they didn't really make anything out of this more than just Frankie, you know, getting the knees up when Leon went for the 450 moonsault, gets the Maestral pin, is a very simple match. It was a very good match. Leon Slater looks good in defeat. He just looks like a rookie. Frankie Kazarian is Frankie Kazarian. He, you know, gets a win when he's holding that Call Your Shot Gauntlet trophy. Jensen, give me your thoughts on this one.
Well, yeah, I agree. Like, I thought it was a solid match. Kazarian still hits, like, all the stuff that I expect him to hit. Like, after all these years, he's still doing, like, the springboard leg drop and that kind of stuff. It's always cool. It's always cool to watch him. Like, it's cool to watch him work. I've said before, I'm not like the biggest fan of him being the one having that title shot, but you know, it does make things interesting. We'll obviously talk about that in the main event, but I like the finish of the match. Cause as you mentioned, Leon Slater goes for his Swanton 450 and Kazarian gets his knees up, gets the pin on him. So everyone looked pretty good in this one. Slater's not really expected to win here, but I really, really like Leon Slater. I liked him on the indies. I think he's like going to be a massive star in major promotions. So, mm-hmm. And he's very young. He's still only like 20 years old or so. So, yeah, really good stuff between these two and Kazarian with the win.
Cresta, we talk a lot about Leon Slater and his position and his opportunities in TNA. What'd you think of this match and where does he go from here?
I agree with both of you. Frankie Kazarian winning here makes a lot of sense. It does paint that rookie story. A clean win? I don't know. A handful of tights? I don't know. Clean it. But on the other hand, this boy is a star. He's going to be fantastic wherever he is. That one-armed Blue Thunder Bomb, That was clean. That was clean. That's something you would expect from someone with more meat than Leon Slater. Like, he's, I don't want to say he's like a skinny dude, but I expect that from a Jake something, a PCO, even a JDC, someone with a little bit more meat. He's phenomenal. I honestly want to see him in a, like an X Division. What's the ultimate X? Is the one with the ring, with the ropes? Yep. Yep. I'd pay good money. Come to New York TNA. I'll be in the front row. That would be a good match with him and anybody. He's amazing. He's so good.
Well, you asked Jordan Grace. WrestleMania will host an Ultimate X match one day.
Hey, you know, I'm not Mania or Rumble with an Ultimate X match in it. That would be, see you next Tuesday.
In a few years. Maybe in a few years. And then later on, Frankie Kazarian cuts a little promo backstage. He says tonight's about the present and the right now. And he's laser focused on the main event, which we'll talk about a little later. Says he'll cash in when the moment strikes. We open up the main show with the X Division Championship. Moose, with his gaudy new title, defeats Ace Austin. This match did a lot for both men. Moose doesn't need much. Moose is already top of the game, presented as a former champion and the main man in TNA. He has the X Division title. Feel about it how you will. He said he's going to introduce a new one. He did introduce a new X Division championship belt. And Ace Austin comes in. He's newly on a singles tear. He needs some wins. He needs to rack up those big time victories and also those big experiences, because up until now, he's been a tag team guy for the last 4 years in TNA, maybe more. So without Chris Bay at his side, he's trying to figure it out. I liked a lot of this match. Of course, the system gets involved. JDC is around. But at the end of the day, Moose gets the two spears, one off the Art of Finesse, one off the front, gets the win. This match had a lot going on in it. So let's break it down. Cresta, I'm going to start with you.
All right. So I guess I'll start from the back up. The spear to the back from the Art of Finesse, ugh, that broke my heart, because I knew what it was. This match had so much passion. It was the tribute to Chris Bay in the beginning, and even Ace Austin coming out to their ABC music. He's been coming out to his own music for the past couple of weeks, so I like how they still keep Chris Bay relevant, keep Chris Bay in your mouth and your mind. They even ran a promo, I think, after or before this, talking about Chris Bay's journey. It's one of those things where it's like the system is inevitable in TNA, and it gets a little hard to watch when you see your favorite guys go against a Moose. Because I know you're going to get cheated out of your boots. This match was phenomenal for both men, And I always be on Moose's head. I be on Moose's head. But this match tonight was really good. The two attempted suplexes to Moose from Ace Austin outside, crazy. But then they snap back up after Moose pretty much counters you and hit him with the suplex then. Ace Austin's legs are unreal. those
you know,
quads are unreal.
You know what we call them? You know what we call them. Let's go.
Quadzilla.
Yes, sir.
Steven Jensen, what did you think about this match?
I thought it was a great opening match. You know, when Moose won the X Division Championship, because that happened, I think, right after the last time we did our review for the last pay-per-view. I think he won at the tapings, like, right after from Speedball. And so it was like kind of questionable. It was like, because Moose isn't the typical like X Division style wrestler that you expect to have the championship, but like X Division isn't about weight limits. It's about no limits. So like technically anyone could be the X Division champion. Right. But Moose, I remember him back in like Ring of Honor and years ago, and he's just improved so much over the years. Like he really deserves a lot of credit, and he's been in TNA now for like a decade. Like that says something, you know what I mean? To be that consistent for this long. I thought this match itself, as y'all both mentioned, I thought it was really good. I like the Fosbury flop. You know, I always think that's a sick move. Took out the system at, like on the outside of the ring before he got hit with that second spear. So everyone looked good in this one. And, you know, the only thing that I think a lot of people obviously do have Chris Bay on their mind, and it would be nice to see Ace Austin like win a big match like for Chris Bay, but obviously they're cooking that up, obviously. Uh-huh. So I had no problem with any of this. I thought it was a great opening match.
Yeah, some really good stuff here. Like I said, Ace not getting the win makes sense because of where he's going and the story they're telling. I think we did this in our preview, Cresta, where I mentioned Ace is talking about Chris Bay, but no one is talking shit about Chris Bay to Ace, that it's firing him up to the point where he has to win. This was Moose tried to, and then he didn't. And also, if you're going to bring in a new championship belt for your first defense, like with the belt, you can't just drop it.
Yeah.
What are we doing? But it was a good match. It was a lot of fun. I think both men looked really good. And I also really enjoyed that the system found a way to get involved. Myers and Edwards came out mid-match. JDC was on commentary. He was getting involved. once Myers and Edwards got involved, well, after the match, System's about to take out Ace Austin when Macklin and Eric Young can come out and make the save, and they go right into the match. They go right into the tag match between Macklin and Eric Young. They're going to defeat Brian Myers and Edward Edwards. I like it when stuff gets strung together like this. It makes perfect sense. That was a creative decision that definitely goes a long way when you're telling stories with these guys. It's a meat and potatoes tag match. There isn't a lot to add. I will say that Eric Young had San Antonio Spurs gear in Dallas. Thought that was neat. They're going to be in San Antonio on Thursday. There's tons of other Dallas inspired gear that we'll be talking about throughout the night. Macklin gets the win with the KIA on Myers. This was a solid match. I don't have much to add to it, so Jensen, I'll let you take over.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a really solid match too. Like, it went, obviously went from like the previous match right into this one with the save and everything, as you just mentioned. The double tope suicidas from Macklin and Eric Young to take them out towards the beginning was really good as well. Also, speaking of, just want to mention, just because I'm now thinking about it, seeing those tope suicidas, I want to just put it out there for anyone who was watching GCW or hasn't heard, Ally Catch hurt herself pretty bad, it looked like, today on a tope suicida. It was a brutal one. She came down on like her ankle and leg, and it was bent. She fell down like full weight on it. It was warning. If you seek the image, you know, it's not good. So I wanted to put that out there too. That's a super dangerous move. All wrestling moves are dangerous, but it's even moves we see so much. We take for granted how often, like, and how durable these performers are, that we see stuff like that so often. And, you know, it is so dangerous. So thoughts are out there with Ally Catch as she recovers, but that was the beginning of the match there. And then, yeah, they hit the stuff that you want to see him hit. Eric Young's always had a great elbow drop. My favorite move in the history of professional wrestling is specifically Randy Savage's top rope elbow drop. My favorite move ever. And Eric Young is someone who does that move justice. Like, there's some people who don't do good elbow drops. He does great elbow drops. And Macklin hitting I know he calls his finisher the KIA, but the move before that where he does like the spear in the corner.
Caught in the crosshairs.
So, yeah, I mean, everything looked crisp. Everything looked good. The right team probably won. I still like the system. I still like Myers and Edwards, you know, as a team together. So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, it looks like Macklin and Eric Young will eventually have their shot at the World Tag Team titles. Not next week, not anytime very soon, but let's say at Rebellion, I could see Macklin and Eric versus the Hardys. I would like to see a match like that. Lish did get involved. She got in the ring. I know, Cressy, you were very excited about Lish Edwards saying, "Do you want to know something?" in an accent.
her outfit, I don't want to say gear, or her outfit tonight was superb.
What?
Steve Macklin, you never beaten the tag team allegations, are you? I mean, he was so good with Eric Young. This tag team, these guys are really good. They came out with their little matching vests. Oh my God. I love these guys together. And I know Steve Macklin's like, I don't want to be in a tag team. I'm my own person. But if these two don't give you pissed off biker uncles, I don't know what to tell you. I'm so sorry. This match, like you said, was a straight up meat match. They did what needed to be done. And anytime the system gets beat up, sign me up.
Yeah, simple, easy. They got it done. Someone in the chat called me out for knowing all the signature moves of the wrestlers I know. Not going to say favorite because it's not. He's not my favorite wrestler. He's just, we've had a lot of conversations.
He's your favorite wrestler. It's okay. You can
every six months is our target for an interview. And anyway, keep your eyes open for February. Knockouts tag team titles. Okay, I'm going to preface this with, see you on Thursday. The Elegant Sisters do not win the titles. Spitfire retain their Knockouts tag titles. The Elegant Sisters come out in their Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders gimmick. I thought that was hilarious. George Iceman does a Go Eagles on three, and the crowd absolutely hates them. It's all football references.
I'm about to say, I don't get it.
These clowns absolutely rule, and the best part, All of my notes here are just all the stupid shit that the Elegance did, because the match didn't matter. Like, Ash by Elegance does a cartwheel into a sucket, and that is the funniest shit you can see. And the match, it was good. Honestly, they did great heel tag team work. They cheated. It was subtle. They did double teaming. Spitfire is like this physically stronger babyface tag team, which I appreciate. There's a gnarly German suplex from Danny Luna onto Heather Reckless from outside of the ring to the inside. They do the pressure drop. Spitfire gets the win. Hannafin was Ray Walt was saying it looked like the wrong competitor was legal or was illegal, and that's where I think they're going to try and run it back. I know that then Hannafin said, well, the referee's decision is final. I still think they're going to do it. Steven Jensen, you love football. What do you think of this?
Yeah, well, you know, not the best time to talk about football considering I'm a lifelong diehard fan of the Minnesota Vikings, and they massively disappointed me in the first round of the playoffs. But yeah,
football, though.
Yeah, I am rocking the Team Moss, though. Go out there and support Randy Moss. But you mentioned, you know, the only thing I can really add to that, honestly, is there was some really nice double team moves by both teams during this one. Ash and Heather hit like a DDT double foots to the back combo on the outside at one point. That was nice. Danny Luna, Jody Threat with the double team, like suplex where they did like a full squat and then back up, you know, that's always impressive to watch. Backstabber, double stomp combo by Ash and Heather. Joel mentioned one of my favorite spots as well. The suplex from the German suplex from the top, I thought was really crisp. So yeah, this was a solid one.
Krista.
I just want to show you my note where I said, suck it, Joel. I just want you to see. You see, suck it, Joel. They won despite cheating. And now you're telling me on Thursday, okay?
I thought the suck it was because of what Heather did or what Ash by Elegance did.
Yo, where's my squirt gun? No, this match was fine. Honestly, I really dug. I understood that they were Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. I knew those colors. I was like, yeah. I didn't know if that was insulting or not. So I'm assuming cheap heat or maybe, I don't know. Whatever. Iceman's jacket, blazer, fantastic. This match, I really don't have any notes on because at one point I did mute the match and put on Benny Hill music and had me a laugh. So
that's actually hilarious. Why would you do that? And also, why wouldn't you do that?
I mean, after the car with the suck it, my brain just said, all right, I choose to be sports entertained.
I saw what this was.
I knew what it was. I will say, jokes aside, I think Heather Reckless showed out a lot this match, whether she was getting beat up or whether she was like on the offense. I thought Heather Reckless did a really good job. But outside of that, I have this joke. Yes.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good match. Let's hit a couple super chats. Just Ricardo saying, just because I love you, bruvs. We love you too. Dig that. You see that CM Punk avatar? And Jay Hudson said a very nice super chat. Cressa Star, you're such an inspiration for women of color. My niece looks up to you so much. She has a painting of you as her inspiration. You are her. My goodness.
Aww,
a painting of me? That, oh my God.
Was it commissioned or did she make it?
That's insane. Holy crap. Well, I'm incredibly flattered. Tell your niece, keep on keeping on. If they hate you, hate them right back. No, don't that second part. Not that second part. That's really nice. A painting of me? My loud honk. I'm sports flattered. Thank you.
We do appreciate it. We appreciate the love. AO sending a super chat saying Hannafin had to get that Cowboys dig in. He's a big old Eagles fan, that Tom Hannafin.
Same division.
Yeah.
Where are the Eagles from? And why do we care about the Eagles? I don't know. Eddie, you guys got to forgive me. I know this much about.
Not worth getting into. It's Philadelphia. They're still in. They're one win away from the Super Bowl right now.
Well, there you go.
Were the Cowboys supposed to win the Super Bowl? I don't know.
No, they were bad.
Oh, God, no.
Not Cowboys saying that.
But they're hyped up every year. Every single season, they're projected to have like a Super Bowl run. And for the last like 20 years, they haven't been very good. So
they're like the Mets.
Except the Mets did some stuff, right?
Yeah.
Recently, but the Mets suck.
But Dallas, like the Cowboys were like America's team in the 90s. So they have like, you know, all these diehard fans that still think they're great. But Jerry Jones, their owner, is like super out of touch. And that's a whole rabbit hole we don't need to go into on the show.
Somebody has to teach me football. This sounds interesting, but also like, what?
Oh, bad time to let everyone know. I'm Canadian. I am a hockey fan. And my two teams are the Ottawa Senators and the Anaheim Ducks, and somehow the Ottawa Senators are currently winning matches, so I have problems.
Okay, work. I learned so much today.
Whatever works. Speaking of whatever works, Jordan Grace loses her final match in TNA. Hey, we're joined right on time to talk about it. What is this? What's going on here? Oh, okay. What's this? You want to bring yourself on then?
Get this guy in here. Bring him in here.
Hello, Sean.
Should I show what everybody was laughing at? Was it this?
It was absolutely that. Yes.
Background.
Was that your homage to the I Quit match tonight?
What is it?
Was that your homage to the end of the I Quit match tonight?
It was the horror show at TNA Genesis is what we called it. Wanted to drop by FightfulSelect.com. Soon to be the best $6 a month, $64 a year in the business. Had some scoops. You can see this fella over there once a week. If you ever ask, why don't you all cover, and then you fill in the blank, the answer is we do, and he does it. So there you go. Steven does a wonderful job over there, but did have some news details on FightfulSelect.com. And, of course, wanted to reward our wonderful viewers here. Before I do that, please check out the Fightful Awards. Give some engagement to the social media posts, all that stuff. We had WWE, AEW, indie talent that accepted those, which means the world to me. Cody is going to sign his and allow us to auction it off for wildfire relief because he's already got one. And like, what do you need like 10 of those in your house? I mean, if you're Rhea Ripley and MJF and you ask for three of them instead of one trophy with all the things on them and cost me $400, sure. But Cody, a little bit more generous, I guess. But FightfulSelect.com. So as you can expect, Jordan Grace expected to be done with the company. Josh Alexander, I wouldn't say so quick. It's possible. But like he's got almost a month left on his deal with some taping dates yet to be announced or yet to be fulfilled there. Now, it could be a situation like with Speedball where his dates were done, but he still had like 2 or 3 months on the deal, which to me, I don't know why that is even a thing that exists. Like it should just be done.
So they did run a digital with Santino saying, hey, you have to be at the tapings on Thursday.
Okay. So that makes sense. Yeah. PCO. Oh boy. So this one was on FightfulSelect.com. Go show it some love. GCW, at least, and I want to say they claim, because I realize who I'm talking to here. It's Brett Lauderdale. I understand there might be some worky work going on there, but don't know how much sense it makes to do it right now. PCO's deal was up at the end of the year, and he was expected at the tapings on Thursday. He wasn't required to be there tonight. He had told GCW that he was going to do something that contributed to an angle he was doing on TNA TV. TNA is claiming that ain't no angle that we're doing, buddy. And they are not expecting him there on Thursday. If anything, this was a giant advertisement for whoever made that title belt, because that's a sturdy hunk of metal right there. It did not go full on Mr. Perfect, Lanny Poffo, smashing it with a hammer gimmick. That dude had it sandwiched on a steel chair with a sledgehammer and didn't do much of anything. They have had a bit of a contentious relationship over the last like year and a half or so. I was surprised he resigned. Even more surprised they put a title on him after that. But I guess we'll see there.
Montreal was different anyway.
I posted this on my little subscriber gimmick on Twitter that I'm doing for $3. All proceeds go to a good cause. Gail Kim produced the Jordan Grace Tessa Blanchard match, which I will speak about a bit. One, the match absolutely slapped. It was an incredible match, but like, listen, in-ring has never been the issue with Tessa Blanchard. Had that woman said, upon winning the world championship, had she said, I've done and said things that I am not proud of, and I am sorry for that, but I am proud of what I just accomplished. It would not have given anybody even the opportunity to breathe and go, yeah, but it would have been a sufficient enough excuse. Maybe not for people, and that's fine, but for WWE, it would have been enough. And she would have been a multi-time WWE champion by now. Instead, she is going back to the place of which she left 4.5 years ago when, might I remind you, she wouldn't come and drop the world title. Yeah. Now, when you got Gail Kim on your side, who I adore as a human, as a professional, as a wrestler, the phrase I will continue to use with Gail Kim is unfuckwithable. If Gail Kim is like, yeah, you should give somebody a chance, I'm more than inclined usually to believe them. This situation, a little bit different. I covered that story in real time. And I've got a number of people saying, well, didn't she clear it up with the person she had an issue with? The person? There were like a dozen when I covered this story. Now, listen, I know she doesn't like me personally because I covered these things, but I did not make her say these things. I did not make her do these things. And I did not subsequently make her not apologize or make good with these things. In fact, somebody that represented her 4 years ago asked my advice of what she should do. And I said she should get the numbers of every person that called her out in a tweet, every person that she feels like she may have had an argument, like some sort of little disagreement with, contact them and say, let's make good. Make an effort with every single person. Even if you don't mean it, just do it. Like, just try. And none of that ever happened. Now, I will say this. I don't know if she apologized to La Rosa Negra, but La Rosa Negra said, I have moved on. That's what she said. Specifically, and I don't want to adjust her words, but at the it was not just one person. Chelsea Green, Deonna Purrazzo, I believe it was Isla Dawn, Priscilla Kelly, Allison Kay. Those are the ones that said it out loud, not to mention the 4 or 5 that reached out to me. Then I'll go into this little story. During the pandemic, WOW was originally going to be like a legitimate women's alternative. How do I know that? Because they were hitting up me for contact info for a lot of the women that had just got released by WWE, and they wanted to become like a legitimate television alternative. It wasn't going to be this 74th Glow reboot because David McLean said, oh my God, that show was a hit on Netflix. Let me do that again. Not realizing that the reason it was a hit on Netflix is because people went, can you believe this crazy fucking idea worked for 2 years? Let's make a TV show about it. This is nuts. So anyway, at some point, they're just like, well, we'll get Tessa and then we'll get AJ Lee, to put it lightly, be a mascot for WOW. She was an announcer. She would do press. She would go, hey, guys, watch WOW. And that's what they spent their budget on. And then they went back to their Glow method and said, well, here's what we'll do. We'll just have Tessa train all these people. Well, how long did that last? It didn't last long. Why? Because I got tons of messages from people who were at WOW claiming that Tessa Blanchard was bullying them. Do you know how hard it is to get fired from a David McLean vanity project that is your vanity project? It ain't easy. And we're talking about over a dozen people here. It ain't a conspiracy. It ain't an accident. I hope she's grown since then, because I want to say this. I haven't heard anything positive, negative, indifferent about how she acts to people since that. The one person I've heard speak about her in recent years said something very positive about her. I'll say that. So I don't know if steps have been made or anything like that. I hope so. I know she hasn't reached out to a number of those people that had identified issues with her, though. And Will says, Chelsea Green called out Tessa this week on her racism and bullying. I mean, listen, I have... People say, where's the proof? Listen, you don't have to take my word for it. I have seen the proof, of which is not mine to put out there. I am not in possession of it, but I saw it, and it's I don't want to say like, oh, damning and unrecoverable, but it's pretty blatant. And I'm just like, cool, slapper of a match. That's great. I know 1,000 people that have slappers of matches, like great matches. Like that's not in short supply in 2025. I hope she's grown. I hope she's gotten better. I wouldn't know because she hasn't really talked about it.
The only thing I'm going to add to this is someone in the chat saying they both posted pictures on their Instagram accounts that said she apologized. No, that's not what that is. If you go and find those particular posts, you'll see it's La Rosa Negra saying, I'm ready to move on. There's no
yes.
of an apology.
Yes, Dante, I did not misquote her. I know this because I have asked her myself. Like, I'm not sitting here assuming what somebody's saying. And I don't think it's an accident when I ask somebody, do you forgive? Do you do this? And then they say specifically what they want to say. And I go, okay. And I mean, listen, y'all can say what you want to say. Oh, Sean, you didn't let it go. I got on a goddamn media call 5 years ago and asked her about it myself. Like, I got on there on TNA Press Pass and asked her about it. So, like, can't say this is like some new shit. Now, also, I don't believe the woman should have to starve. Don't believe she should have to go without work, any of that. But listen, she wasn't hurting for work. She wrestled over 115 times last year. She's got plenty of work. Why? Because she's a fantastic in-ring performer. And nobody can take that away from her. I saw somebody say, oh, well, it's because she's Tully's daughter. Buddy, Tully Blanchard ain't got anybody a job in 30 years. Not get her a job.
Walked out of more than he's gained.
Yes. Did not get her a job. She got a job because there are people in that company that believe that with them losing Josh Alexander and Speedball Mike Bailey and Jordan Grace, that this was a cost-effective and buzzworthy way to restock the cupboards in that sense. And she claimed she did not use a racial slur of any kind in her life.
Cool match. Talk about what happened. That's all. Just address it. Just put it to bed. Do the things you need to do. And a lot more people will be willing to say your name, will be a lot more willing to talk about what you can or should be doing in yep. wrestling. There's so much more to this. I know Jeremy and I talked about it on the weeds for a while. I know Cresta, you and I have talked about it on our show, on our TNA post show. Jensen, I know you've had a chance to talk about it as well with Jeremy on the spotlight. Sean, I know you've addressed it as well. I agree with you. No one is saying that she should never work again, but a lot of people are saying accountability matters. And this is one space where the accountability will go a very long way in finding out how big of a star she can be, because being a great wrestler doesn't work when there are other things at play.
I'll give you a couple of good examples and two wildly different examples. Randy Orton, who was well past the point of being canceled or fireable or anything, used very colorful, racially insensitive language on a game stream, and he immediately, upon getting to TV the next day, sought out people, apologized, and then got educated on the Black Lives Matter movement and publicly spoke about it on Twitter.
That part.
Let's go to the completely opposite end of the spectrum. Lars Sullivan, who had a wealth of controversy, had very, very bad forum posts from years before emerge. He went to TV, not just the next day, but I believe a day he wasn't even scheduled, and sought out people. I think that he made fun of Jeff Hardy for being on drugs. He sought out Matt and Jeff and apologized to them. Like, there are ways that, like, if he can do it,
Are you kidding me? If Lars Sullivan can do it, why can't anyone else? That's what I want to know. They got her out here doing media.
Media's a little diabolical. I thought it, but now that you're here, you're saying it. I'm like, there has to be a way that you have to address it. And I think not addressing it is where the vitriol and the fans come, just to piggyback on everyone's what they're saying. She's a fantastic wrestler, but just apologize, bro. But if not, you know, you don't cook you. You're going to get cooked. You're cooked, bro. You're cooked. You're cooked.
I mean, like the match was awesome, but like more people are going to be talking about, like, she's a racist chance. I mean, like,
I laughed.
Like,
I had multiple women from WWE hitting me up and saying, like, I cannot believe they got chanted in a match. And then listen, one of the most respected people in WWE saying that people who had no reason to lie backed up all of the claims that were out there. And somebody says, feel like we're going in circles here. Yeah, you know why we're going in circles? Because five years ago, she was very clearly winning the TNA championship, and she said, women should support each other. Cool things will happen. And then like a dozen women came out and said, what? Pardon? Du quoi? Is what was said. And instead of going, my bad, not even my bad would have been better. That would have been better. I would have settled for a. Damn, I fucked up. Like, nah, under her breath, even.
Maybe even a you good? You good? You good?
Yeah. Yeah. Anything. But she won the title and did like a coming after me. It's us versus them.
Get your global affairs in order, Sean.
Yeah, but I want to say, match was dope.
It was
great match. Good for Jordan. I will say this, if you want me to take a positive from it, if you are in the position of Tessa Blanchard and you are in the position of TNA, that is the best possible match you could have had to be like, well, we're forcing her in here. So this is what's happening. And again, I want to make it clear. I don't think she should starve. Don't think she should be without work. People deserve to be able to work. That's why when I like see people that have been like canceled in the past and like they're working like completely out of the industry and people go and get them fired. I'm like, listen, man, they're not going to starve to death here. Like it can't allow that type of thing to happen. But thank you for letting me rant. Also, fantastic show. Great. I really, really loved the show. Fightful Award winners Fraxium were on this show, by the way.
They got a tag team title match on Thursday on Impact.
They do. And while I'm here, I'll... Listen, I'm just going to say it and then it'll get picked up everywhere. But interesting that I reported that Orlando is on the cards for next month. Interesting that I said there's a live TNA. And then interesting that Full Sail University, somebody from there said, we are not done with wrestling to me after I reported that. I would fully expect TNA wrestling to emanate from Full Sail University next month.
Looking forward to that possibility, especially if they
fight for select
for NXT.
Spring back all the hard work, SRS. Serious business.
Do the Slipknot theme.
We are not your kind.
That'll be the TNA theme for the week.
I'm looking like Baron Corbin at Bloodsport tonight doing the...
First of all, Josh Barnett. Get it right.
What is it?
Tom Pistick. Get it right.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I love him using Twitter all the time. I'm here for it. Like, that dude does not give a shit what anybody thinks. Like, he didn't when he was in WWE, but now
He really doesn't give a shit. Wonderful guy. Great interview, by the way. But thank you guys so much. I appreciate you guys. See you later.
Thanks, Sean.
Bye, Sean. See you, Sean.
Bye, guys.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log in to your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2 liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jordynne Grace loses that match. Tessa Blanchard gets the win. Listen, great match. Wonderful. I don't know if there's much else we can talk about. We can talk about the match itself. Listen, when you get to the end of it, it's just Tessa trying to rip off the turnbuckles. This is the one thing that I don't like about this match. The referee looks stupid.
Yeah.
Because she saw throughout a match that was it was not a no rules match. It was not no DQ. She saw Tessa was trying to rip off that turnbuckle and she didn't make any attempt to stop it. And then she saw Tessa do the bulldog through the turnbuckle and use the turnbuckle multiple times. And that didn't DQ her. That's something that kind of annoyed me. But that finish was fantastic. The jumping code breaker after the middle turnbuckle bulldog, there was some really, really solid stuff here. I don't know if you guys want to talk about anything specific in the match, because they did a lot of shit. Jensen, I guess I'll start with you on this one.
Sure. Yeah, just like a few moves that I noted here. Like the beginning of the match, I thought was awesome because similar to that tag team match we were just talking about, Jordynne Grace just hits a tope suicida right outside the ring, flattens Tessa, and then hits a jackhammer on the outside. Like I was like, this is a pretty sweet way to start the match off. Jordan also hit a really nice fallaway slam off the top turnbuckle, like not just off the middle turnbuckle, all the way on the top. Like that was nice. Jordan also hit a package power bomb, like put Tessa up in a package power drop position, but then did a sit out power bomb out of it. That was really nice. There was like a dragon sleeper that I countered with like a head to the turnbuckles at one point. I thought it was a nice counter. So I mean, there was really, really good matches. Oh, sorry, really, really good moves in this. Like Jordan also hit a regal plex that was really nice. There was something on like the ring steps also. I'm blanking on exactly. DVD. Oh, that's what it was. The rolling DVD. Yeah, that was really that was nice. But Joel, as you mentioned, I was thinking the same thing as you as far as the actual end of the match, because first it takes Tessa forever to try to get the bottom turnbuckle pad off and it just isn't coming off. And then they just decide, like, you know, Jordan's probably standing there like, I can't keep selling this any longer. Like, I'm standing up at this point, basically just looking, just waiting for you. So they try to do the DDT at the on the bottom, and Jordan basically, and I'm not blaming really either of them, it just, they missed the turnbuckle, and it wasn't exposed really anyways. So then I think that's when they had to, like, audible and be like, all right, let's see if this other turnbuckle pad will come off. It initially didn't either. That took some effort as well to get that one off. And then, as you mentioned, Joel, the referee's literally looking directly at them for that bulldog into the exposed turnbuckle the second time. But, you know, everything aside that we obviously just went over, it makes sense clearly that Tessa would win because she's going to be there and Jordan isn't. But outside of that, like the match itself, obviously, you know, I agree that the match was, it was a fantastic match between these two.
Grass the star.
Yeah. I was into it for the sense of I love seeing Tessa Blanchard get beat up. So I was happy that 90% of the match was beat up. That rolling DVD was disgusting. That avalanche crucifix, whatever that was off the middle turnbuckle, was nasty. I do agree that, girl, ref, you saw her try to take off the first turnbuckle. The second one, it didn't even really come off. And in that regard, I knew Jordan was going to lose. So I appreciate Jordan making her work for it. That being said, maybe call an audible because it undermines the stiffness of the match. It kind of makes Tessa look like a cornball, but beyond what I think, you know what I mean? It makes you look silly. It makes the ref look silly. And, you know, it's just to me personally, this is just my personal feelings. Yeah, somebody else couldn't have done this. Why y'all gotta make Jordan do this? Jordan, who's given, in my opinion, so much to TNA. Y'all got her putting this girl over on the way out. I'm never coming back. that's just me and I the business. But
I'll put it like this: when we were talking about the build, I made it very clear the reporting on Vital Select was that there was pushback from Jordan about working with Tessa. What a lot of people thought that meant was that Jordan said, I don't want to work with Tessa. Management said, you're working with Tessa. And she said, okay. No, the entire build to this match, those two didn't talk once. There was no on-air conversation. There was nothing other than a few beatdown segments, very quick, very hard hit. And she's here. She's there. They never met in the ring, not once, for a verbal confrontation. That's pushing.
I would jump on that and even say, Joel, that look at how Tessa was received tonight. She cannot grab a mic. Yo, you are going to get booed out of your boots. And as you should, beyond that, beyond racism, because those chants got me, I cackled. You can't win the title. And when it's time for you to drop the title, you're not doing that. If I'm somebody else in the back, what do you mean you're not doing that? And now you want to come back here? I thought you weren't doing that. So it... I hope, like John and y'all said, nobody deserves to starve. But beyond us, I'm just a jabroni on the internet with a front-facing camera and a dream. You got to work with these people. So, you know, good for you. I also wrote Kali Ma a bunch of times. I was like, kill her, Jordan. Kali Ma, Kali Ma. So.
Let's hit a couple super chats and we can move on finally. Joel, it's a hater of the year, Drew and CM Junk mashup. Oh, my God, I see it now. It's Drew's face on the
back. Yeah, that's great.
I love it. And just Ricardo following up on the Tessa stuff, saying if she'd said publicly, I was a bitch, I'm sorry, it would have gone a long way.
Some people might be like, and they'd be like, yeah, all right, she said she was a bitch.
D'Lo Diggs is a member for 46 months. Thank you so much. Saying what wild weeks with accountability. It could be a thing with Hogan and Tessa, wondering if this will open eyes to management, and what a wake up call. I am skeptical. I am hopeful, but I'm skeptical. As of right now, Hogan is still planned for Saturday night's main event. In what capacity, we don't know until we see it. People were saying, oh, it's going to be in Texas, so he's not going to get booed there. Well, they're in Texas tonight.
And they let Tessa have it.
So maybe Texas ain't exactly the bastion of what you think it is. So we'll see about this.
What was the accent, Joel?
Well, and the Hogan thing, too, is like, was like mainstream like news. Like there was people that I don't even like that don't even watch wrestling that know I'm into it. And they were like, dude, what was up with Hogan getting booed on Netflix? Like I heard like people were talking about that.
Okay, Variety Crates picked that up. And I was like, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think he's going to get booed everywhere because now it's also going to be like a thing to do. You know what I mean? Like now it's like everyone like is like collectively going to be like, that's when we see him.
Why are we booing Hogan? We just doing it. All right. Boo! Yeah.
Good enough for us. And you know what? Just because I need to put it out there, we love accountability on this program. Cresta, you know I like to hold the referees accountable. Paige Prinzavalli, you've made the list tonight. Damn. You were the referee for that match. You made the list.
She's up there with what? Daniel Spencer.
Daniel Spencer. I swear to God, the main event, I saw Daniel Spencer, and I said, JBL's going to come out there with a little laser pointer, and he's going to shine it on the mat like it's like he's a house cat, Goodbye. And he's going to get so distracted. Didn't do it, but we'll talk about that later. Let's talk about my match of the night, my favorite match, the match that absolutely ruled the I Quit match. Mike Santana defeats Josh Alexander. Joshy Guerrero does his Three Amigos.
Stop.
He did the...
He even did the shimmy afterwards. Yeah,
he did the shimmy.
Joshy Guerrero's diabolical.
They do the Kurt Angle and Eddie Guerrero match as well, where they do the ankle lock and Santana's boot comes off. And then Josh Alexander back body drops Mike Santana onto a table. There's some really solid stuff in this match. I think my favorite thing, beyond all the violence, because the violence was fantastic, was Mike Santana finding ways to say, I don't quit, in the funniest ways possible. And it being honest, because he's a Long Island boy. He's a Bronx boy. He is a, not Long Island, he's a Bronx boy. He is that dude. He will beat your ass. It was
get out my face, ref.
Yeah, he just, I was expecting him at one point to be like, suck my dick, but he didn't. Instead, the turnaround in this match, Josh goes for a C4 spike and Santana no sells it. Just up. And my favorite part is that he gets up and his hair was in the air with him. That shit just rules. The visual is fantastic. At the end of the match, I'll let y'all talk about what finishes it. That they do the threat of the curb stomp, and then Alexander quits. And post-match, Santana says, hey, I told you I'd face you like a real man, so stand up and face me. Shake my hand. Keep your word. I told y'all he'd do it. Josh calls Santana the standard of TNA, and he says, I quit. Josh Alexander leaves. Sinner and Sane are probably in the back looking at each other, being like, what the fuck we do now? Crest of Star, let's talk about this match.
What a match! Now, y'all know I'm not for the blood, but this was that fine line of, okay, I could watch this and not throw up. This match was so, 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 so good. I had said this in the beginning of our post show that I was watching this in Discord with my friends. Some people who I've never seen TNA, and they're like, what is happening? What is happening? I'm like, this is art. This is sports entertainment. The You're Still Bald Chance, Texas crowd, tonight, y'all were doing it. Y'all are jerks, but I live. You're welcome in the Bronx. As long as you don't bring on that extra stuff. You're welcome here in the Bronx. The pool balls and the sock, disgusting. Josh Alexander actually quitting was insane. Also, this is the second feud Josh Alexander's been in zip ties. Now, I'm not one to judge, but I'm looking. Is this for a show, Mr. Alexander? Don't answer that. But I got my eye on you. This match was fantastic. Oh boy, coming out of his shoe, Santana. This match had my match of the night, honestly. Joe Hendry did because I'm a fan, but this match was superb, phenomenal. Bleeding out the mouth was gross, but this match was fantastic. Sorry you're bald, Josh Alexander, but Texas lets you know.
Steven Jensen, a bag of Valencia oranges, and it's all up to you.
Well, I can't really add much more to this. I thought the match was great as well. You pretty much all hit all the spots except for my least favorite spot of the match, was I'm just going to point out just for fun, even though they didn't take away from it. There was that one spot towards the end where Alexander was tied up, like up against the bottom turnbuckle, and Santana put himself through a table that like didn't hit Alexander. He just like front flipped through a table.
Well, because Alexander was under the table.
No, I know. He was trying to go through it into him. I understand what he was trying to do, but like, I don't think he actually got to him. So he just kind of put himself through a table, which was kind of funny. But outside of that, listen, Santana, I think, has been doing great work. Like, you know, not just in TNA, but like every independent promotion he's involved in, he's basically either the champion or consistently main eventing everywhere he's at right now as a singles wrestler. And, you know, I know, Joel, I know you've been pretty much calling for him to be next up world champion, or at least more in the mix. So I'll defer to you. How do you feel about this? Like, do you think this is like, I mean, this is obviously a very, very big win here over Josh Alexander. So like, it feels like that's probably finally soon for him, right?
I've said this in multiple platforms, including on our TNA post shows. First of all, I need to say this in the match, you got Josh Alexander yelling, you'll never be the guy, Mike. That was the turnaround. That was that's what brought Santana to the finish, threatening to curb stomp Alexander. He was going to do it. And that's when Alexander quit. That's when he knew he messed up. they're going to do it at UBS. They're going to do it at Slammiversary. And I don't think Joe Hendry is going to be the champion that Josh Alexander was the name in front of me. Mike Santana will not be facing Joe Hendry. I've made it very clear. I think it's going to be Frankie Kazarian. I think Kazarian's going to cash in on Hendry at as early as Rebellion, hold it through the spring. And then when we get to Slammiversary, it'll be those two, because you need a baby face and a heel. You don't want two baby faces that the crowd likes for two different reasons going at it. You want a very firm baby face and a very firm heel. That's Santana. That's Kazarian. The future, the past, whatever you want to label it as. And then people are going to say, oh, how are you going to sell out UBS Arena? Well, first of all, they'll be happy with 4,500 to 5,000 tickets sold. On top of that, you got the Hardys. When we talk about that match, spoiler alert, the first thing I'm going to talk about is the pop that the Hardys got when they walked out and that music hit, because the roof blew off that building. They'll have a car crash match. It'll be a big thing, maybe an Ultimate X. I don't care what it is, but the Hardys alone are going to move tickets. You can do a big moment with Hometown Boy done good, comes around. He's the guy. He wins the title. Slammiversary goes off the air. Everyone's happy. That's it. Tonight was the first passing of the torch. Next one's going to be Santana's your guy. He's had a big turnaround since he joined TNA. And he's given a lot of media. He's talked a lot in press and on the shows about his struggles and about his turnaround. This dude is up next. I will continue to say it. Could have been tonight, but I like that they'll wait until Slammiversary to do it in his hometown.
Yeah. He's been great. I mean, I remember like just a few years back when I think it was the first Terminus show in Atlanta. It was one of the first times I'd seen him work as a singles wrestler. Like, I'd seen him wrestle like random singles matches throughout the years, but that was the first time where I was like, I really took notice of like what he could be on his own. I was like, this guy's really, really good. And, you know, not long after he had, you know, whatever issues or whatever with Ortiz, whatever happened, and they're not teaming anymore. But there was always this question mark. So like, what would those guys look like on their own? And obviously Santana has looked great everywhere he's at. So, I mean, good on him. And it sounds, from what I've heard, and I don't know how true any of this stuff ever is, but it seemed like Santana, he wanted more. Like, he felt like he could be this guy for a long time, and he's finally kind of getting a chance to do that, it looks like.
We sat here in the weeds when we interviewed Mike Santana. This was, God, last year. And we talked to him about his decision to move on and do a singles run and everything, that his injuries and everything and his sobriety. And like, he brought Jeremy Lambert and I and himself, all three of us, were tearing up over his own story. That's the moment I bought in to Mike Santana. I saw him emerge at Hard to Kill when he took on Steve Macklin, and they did the whole like Macklin just re-signed the contract, blah, blah, blah. And out comes Santana. That was a moment. That was great. But I wasn't bought in. Now, having heard the story, seeing what he's done, the work rate, I know that's such a silly word that we use, it's there and it gets better. And when someone like Josh Alexander, who has run this shit for the last 4 years, when he tells you you're next up and he shakes your hand on camera and says you're the heart and soul effectively, that means something. They're doing this. It's going to be really
Oh, wrong guy, but I believe.
Let's hit this last super chat. By the way, don't forget, you can donate a super chat here or humperchats.com. Just Ricardo saying Super Saiyan Santana ruled. It really did. Just don't ever come out with blonde hair. That would be just awful.
Blonde hair Santana, my mind does not compute. It'd be funny. I'd laugh for a good 10 minutes. I'd be like, take it off. I don't like it.
Take it off. Yeah. He's just laughing at him. And he's like, no.
No, I don't, take it off.
TNA tag title time, the Hardys versus the Rascals. Hardys defeat the Rascals. No shock here, but I like the Fraxium from NXT show up at the beginning. They go and sit down right outside the ring. And the first thing I said was, MSK still owes, they're still owed a tag title shot from NXT. They're going to get it on Thursday. Match was good. Hardys did a Hardys match without doing a car crash. The Rascals confront Fraxium. And security basically escorts them out of the building for whatever reason. The Rascals work great. They work on Jeff. And then Jeff gets a turnaround with the Twist of Fate. Eventually, everyone comes back. Swanton, Twist of Fate gets the finish. Trey Miguel gets pinned. And here we are. Fightful award-winning Fraxium gets kicked out. Crescent Star, you get the first dibs on this tag title match. The Hardys retain.
I will say this was a very short and simple match. And I got to give a lot of shout outs to the Rascals. They, I felt, did justice by the Hardys, worked within their limitations, because I love the Hardys. I grew up on the Hardys. Even I can tell the Hardys ain't doing the stuff the Hardys used to do before. And that's okay, too. I think this was a good yin and yang. I do like their chemistry together. I do have to say, Fraxian being out there and sitting so close, I'm kind of like, bro, you know what you're here for. And the first time the Hardy spilled out on you, you should have moved. So that's your fault. Maybe you don't know ring awareness from NXT. Besides that, this was a good match. It was a good match. While I like the idea of Fraxian wrestling the Rascals, I'm like, at least give it a build for the match that I know that the Rascals ain't going to win. Stop. Give me something. Like don't abuse the Rascals. Don't come over here NXT with that already. Like, you just got here. You just got here. Again.
The other guy.
Yeah, I thought this was really solid. Sorry, I'm a bit distracted as well, just for anyone watching this live in real time. Effie just became the GCW World Heavyweight Champion just a few days ago. So congratulations to Effie. Very, very cool to see that over on the Hammerstein Show. Yeah, this tag team match was solid. It was really cool to see Fraxian out there as well. I like all six of the guys we're talking about here. You know, and the thing with the Hardys is, you know, we've talked about it before, and it's kind of the obvious thing to say, but I really think it's true. As long as they can go out there and do the greatest hits, which they do, like, you get the Twist of Fates, you get the Swantons, you get some of their classic Delta, you get the entrance, exactly, you get the Hardy Boys experience. There are people who are buying tickets to see the Hardys. Like, still to this day, I guarantee you that they are getting more ticket sales, because when TNA is around, there are people. Even it might sound kind of crazy, but I think people in the chat might understand. A lot of non-wrestling fans know the Hardys and Jeff Hardy, like, grew up on these guys. And even if they're not wrestling fans, but they find out wrestling's in town, I still have buddies that'll be like, hey, I heard the Hardys are wrestling at, like, the show in Atlanta or something. And it's like, yeah, like, there is a draw to that team still. And if you have them in there with young teams that are super talented, like everyone we're talking about right now, this can work really well for everybody involved. And I know it's a, you know, it's like a bucket list type match for all of these guys. Like, all these guys who grew up on Hardys want to wrestle the Hardys. So it's cool. It's cool for everyone involved. And I think it's a good thing that they're involved with TNA.
Yeah, this is the right place for them. Some other people have mentioned it to me that this is the right place for them, because they're not exerting themselves. They're working twice a month. They're doing everything the right way, their way, and they're getting the pops. You know, AO saying the Hardys rock star pop. That's what it was. You saw the wide shot, people jumping out of their chairs when they came out. That's star power. Speaking of star power, Jordynne Grace just posted on her Twitter account the going away party that they had, a big thank you. They gifted her a signed Impact Knockouts Championship belt. So I guess that may have been the one that she held for a long time, but it was signed by everyone. Big hugs all around. There was one person who did not get a hug. May have been her opponent from tonight.
Oh, Jack Wasabi.
You can go watch that video on her socials and make of it what you will. Knockouts Championship. It's a Clockwork Orange House of Fun match. No Raven, and I'm very upset about that. But Masha Slamovich defends successfully over Rosemary. You start off with a staple gun to the armpit, and you end with Janice. Well, you don't end with Janice. You end with four chairs and a top row white knight driver, which they don't call it here. But Masha Slamovich does get the win. Cressa Star, you're watching like this. I know you're freaked out.
I actually watched this match. This match was gross, but it wasn't like, this was right when it started to get like that, the match ended. So again, shout outs to you guys with your sense. This whole thing was booked for Cressa Star, and Mina said, she says we're too violent, so we're going to tone it back. It could have been a 20, but it was a 7, and that was good enough for me. Breaking Janice, I love Rosemary. She's the only hardcore person that I would like, listen, I don't want to watch a match, but I'll buy a front row ticket. Breaking Janice and then grabbing it and not caring, and then proceeding to spear Masha Slamovich into tacks on the stage, and then proceed to put your hand in the camera and pick out. She is a legend. She's a goddamn legend, and I love her. This match was disgusting in the right kind of ways. Everything about this match. I love Rosemary. I love Masha. I knew Masha was going to win. It is what it is, but I do agree with what Rosemary said, that everything I used to have, they're now cheering for you. You're the Monsters Ball girl. You're the deathmatch queen. That was my line. So eventually I would love to see a knockouts tag team between these girls. And it's like, you're facing Masha and Rosemary. It's like, I don't want to fight those girls because I'm going to be bloodlet. I'm going to die. So this match was fantastic. I lived for this match, even though I don't like blood matches. So kudos to them. Steven Jensen, I want to know what you thought.
It sounds like you're kind of converting over. Every time we talk, Cresta, just you get a little bit closer to like admitting you might start liking the idea of deathmatch type stuff a little bit.
I used to watch it when I was younger. I'm soft now. I'm a baby.
It's okay. I can't add much more to that either. I mean, I thought the match was really good. I thought there was good references, like with Rosemary using Janice, for instance. It's a callback to like her history with Abyss. And Abyss's history to this exact style of match. Also, she was wearing that shirt Raven used to wear, that same shirt that
Rosemary was wearing. That was a Raven call.
Yeah, so it was cool that they had the callbacks. It would have been cool to see Raven, as you mentioned. It would have been cool. I hope he's doing all right. I was always a big fan of Raven's, and love to see we didn't mention there was a nice snow plow onto a barbed wire board. That was a good one by Masha. Also, you mentioned, I don't know what she calls it in TNA, but the White Knight driver on the open chairs, really nice stuff. And she was the one. What did she call it?
The Requiem.
Oh, the Requiem. Gotcha. Masha is the main person tonight that I felt like I wish she could have been cloned for tonight, because she's a very big part of GCW as well, current JCW world champion. She would have been a big part of the Hammerstein show tonight. Obviously, she can't be in two places at once. And so it's great to see how successful she is on every level of wrestling. And I've said it 1,000 times. She's legitimately, regardless of gender, she is legitimately one of my favorite professional wrestlers on earth. Like, I love Masha. I've always been a big fan of hers. And, you know, I love that she's the current face of the, you know, TNA wrestling and the women's division, but almost, you know, one of the main faces of the entire company at this point.
Well, you know what? They did a little trade-off tonight. Masha worked TNA, PCO worked GCW. Everyone won.
Allegedly.
Maybe not everyone, but people showed up. Hey, listen, over 10,000 of you are watching across our platforms here. So go ahead, drop a thumbs up if you haven't already. If you want to share this with all your friends and family, go ahead. If you're watching us on Twitter, go ahead, slap the retweet. Do whatever you need to do to get your friends talking about TNA with us, because that's what we do. That's what we want you to do. And of course, your super chats and your humper chats go a long way as we go down the home stretch. My final comment about this Knockouts World Championship match before we talk about the post-match if you're going to introduce Tax on the stage, production, this is a note for you. Get a camera operator and a light on the stage for the reveal, because I had no effing clue what was in that bag until I saw someone go through whatever was in that bag. Little things, nitpicky, but I give you production hell all the time, and this is one where I wish you'd just done it. Get the light, get the camera, get the action. That's how it works. Great match. Post-match, NXT's Cora Jade comes out. They teased it on Tuesday when Cora came out and Masha was sitting in the audience at NXT. Tonight, Cora Jade came out, did the I hate this. She does I'm so hardcore, but I don't care. This is her gimmick. Anyway, she comes out and she stands off with Masha Slamovich. Is like, oh, I'm too good for this hardcore stuff. And looks like we'll be doing that match. Don't know if that'll be on an episode of NXT or if it'll be on an episode of TNA or maybe at Vengeance Day. That's the match I want it to be.
Anyway. I don't know Cora Jade, but all I could think of is Masha's gonna kill you. Masha's gonna... Maybe she... I don't know if she's got death matches. She's a very pretty girl. And based off of that... I don't know, Cora. I don't know if this is what you want.
Let me introduce you to Elena Black.
I'm a scrub. I'm a jabroni. I'm new. I like learning new things. I want to know.
I will put it like this. If you look at her now, you would not guess the type of matches she was having 5 years ago.
Is she like Candice LeRae?
No, she's Elena Black. Just look her up when she was 18, 19 and doing what she did. Very different than how she looks now and very different to the presentation of what she is right now. Go look her up.
Work.
You'll find out.
Because I found that out about Candice LeRae because I was like, Deathmatch her?
Kick in the face with tack shoes and stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No disrespect to Candice LeRae. None at all. I'm just saying Candice has always looked the same.
Aha. Uh-huh. I get what you're saying. Let me write that down. Write that down.
And just Ricardo with the super chat saying Cora's mid-card ass is zero business chasing knockouts gold.
Knockouts girls are different. I love wrestling, but there are three divisions that knockouts, luchadores, because they no. And who was the other one? Oh, girls from New Japan, girls from Japan, because
They don't play. Main event time, TNA World title. Joe Hendry is the new TNA World Champion, defeats Nick Nemeth. Turns out JBL was just popping himself the entire time. What are we doing? I'm going to be very honest with everyone right now. This match was not doing it for me until JBL came out, and then we got to the sprint to the finish. A lot of people are really excited. They say, and I believe in the chat, people were believing in Joe Hendry. They're excited. The crowd was super into this. We had the standing ovation moonfall, near fall. We had the knick-knack paddywhack near fall. We had the fallaway slam to the standing ovation, a new champion. Hendry's parents are at ringside. Everyone's cheering. Everyone's excited. This was okay. It didn't really do it for me. But I want to know your thoughts. I want to start with Steven Jensen. And also, I ask the question to both of you. Is it too little too late, given how long we've been doing this dance with Joe Hendry and the world title?
That was one of the main things I was going to bring up. And I won't harp on these topics too much, because I know Cresta is, ever since we've been doing post shows together for years now, she's been on the Joe Hendry bandwagon, like way before most people were this into Joe Hendry. Like, Cresta is OG. So like, I want to, you know, I don't want to steal too much of her thunder on this, because I want her thoughts a lot when it comes to this. But I would say, you know, I would ask the same question. Was it too little too late? It felt like it was like that. Was it Slammiversary, the six-way match, where yes, that was probably around the time to do it. I remember people being really bummed out when Josh Alexander eliminated Joe Hendry from that match. And granted, like, they had a good feud coming out of that, like, you know, but then Hendry had another shot at Nemeth and it didn't go his way again. And it was like, all right, why aren't we doing this yet? The JBL layer to the story is strange. It's interesting to a degree, but it's strange because, like, you had Kazarian come out and tease cashing in, but heading into this match, there was that whole thing coming into the show on the go home where you had Hendry and Nemeth talking to each other before Ryan came out, and they're basically talking about how, like, Nemeth's trying to frame this like he doesn't know why JBL did this, and obviously he doesn't like JBL because he also decked Ryan. And then you're left heading into the show like questioning, you know, because also obviously Nemeth super kicked Hendry at the end of the last Impact. So like, you're questioning all these things going into it. Like, does Nemeth know or not? Like, is he in on this or not? Is basically the big question. And then JBL comes out and takes out Kaz, allowing Hendry to win. So it's like, if Nemeth was in on this, this didn't go to plan. So it makes it look like he isn't. So like, there's a lot of questions surrounding JBL's involvement with all of this. Also, last thing that I'll say, well, actually two more things. One is, I'm happy for Joe Hendry that he did get this win. Like, I like the guy, and he has done a great job getting himself over these years. Like, so I'm glad that he is getting a moment here. And the bigger thing that I feel like is happening here is he's going to show up at the Royal Rumble with the championship. I think that's like the big play here is, you know, I feel like they could have still done that. Even if he won the championship at Slammiversary, he'd be like a longtime champion now going into the Royal Rumble, and he'd still have the championship going into the Royal Rumble. Like, it'd be the same result, but maybe now the timing, they were thinking, well, we'll have some buzz around the idea that he just won this thing, and then the Royal Rumble is like, you know, a couple weeks later, so it's fresh on people's minds that he just became the champion. So when he shows up the Royal Rumble with the title, people are kind of thinking about it and wanting it. They might, you know his song and the dance and the whole thing. So that's where I'm at with all this. I feel like this is a larger device to have him show up at the Royal Rumble with the TNA championship.
Crest of Star, what have I told you since this past Thursday and before that about Joe Hendry and what he'll do on Thursday after having won the TNA World Championship?
I forgot.
I said Joe's going to come out on Thursday on the live Impact when there are some eyes and say, I will be the first sitting TNA World's Champion, men's champion, to appear in the Royal Rumble. I'm declaring I'm making it. And now here's something even funnier, by the way, before I go to you for your thoughts on the match. At one point, Joe Hendry hits an AA, and I immediately remember, oh, yeah, he spent months being like, I want to face John Cena. And I'm like, he's going to use the Rumble as his excuse to have had a match in John Cena's retirement tour. Whether he's in the match at the same time as Cena or not, he is absolutely going to say, I was a part of John Cena's retirement tour. And that shit's going to rule. Cresta, give me your thoughts on this match. Was it too little too late for Hendry? And is JBL a psychopath?
So my power went out during the whole JBL run. And by the time I come back, Ryan Nemeth is Yamcha on the floor, face down in the dirt. So now that you guys have filled me in and JBL is just here, tomato, go away, old man. Do something else. Fly away, hummingbird, or shoot fly.
How about this? How about tomorrow night, Monday Night Raw, he's on commentary. How's that?
Leave TNA alone. Get away from her. Get a job. Leave her alone. Leave her alone.
Well, you'll see him tomorrow on Monday Night Raw.
That being said, I liked this match. I think it was a good culmination. However, is it a little too late? I think we should have struck while the iron was hotter. I just feel at this point, there's too many moving cogs. No disrespect to Nick Nemeth, but once you put the title on Nick Nemeth and you saw how hot Hendry was, you should have did it at Slammiversary. That would have been the piece de resistance that he could have retained it here, and you would have gone on to the Royal Rumble, and no one would have been upset about that. No one would have been upset about that. I do think it's a touch too little too late. Yeah, it'll be fresh, but now Mike Santana has to win it, respectfully. He's the new standard, so the new standard don't win the title. He has to win it. And then you're going to put Kaz over on him? No disrespect to Kaz, who's been a great heel, but I would rather see someone like a Hammerstone beat the shit out of Joe Hendry and be like, well, he couldn't go the distance, or someone just like be a complete jerk ass. So when Mike Santana goes for it, it'll be like, whatever. Like Kazarian will fit that part, but he ain't no moose, respectfully. You need someone who's going to be in your skin, who's going to be the worst, and really put Joe Hendry like, yo, why would you do that to him? I digress. I like it. I don't want Joe Hendry to lose it so fast. I think this is someone you could actually have it on for a year. This would be a great person to be the face of TNA. But the way you have propped up Mike Santana, you can't now. You can't now. Who's he going to go after? A moose casted his X division? Knock it off. Knock it off. So I like it. I love Joe Hendry. I'm happy for him. It does kind of suck for Nick Nemeth. I'm sorry for the garbage truck outside. My apologies, y'all. My mic is sensitive. I do feel bad for Nick Nemeth in the sense of, damn, you just wanted to be a world champion, and here comes this singing guy over here, like, get out of here. Like, ah, you're ruining my moment. So I hope everyone involved finds a way to move forward amicably and no one gets left behind. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes when people change the titles, we don't hear anything from them again, especially in TNA when your title's up. Get out of here. So I hope there's something for Nick and Ryan Nemeth to do afterwards that doesn't involve the tag team title scene. But I'm here. I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry. He needs to have a concert on Thursday.
So Nick signed an extension so he could work this show because he had a one-year deal. He had the Trinity deal. The Trinity deal being, we have a lot of money. We're going after one big free agent. The money goes to you. That money has since been moved around to other people. Nick was signing an extension to get him through this event and maybe the tapings. I don't know if Nick is going to stick around, Nick Nemeth. Mm-hmm. I think he's just, he was the champion for a good amount of time from Slammiversary till now. And that was enough for them. They did well with him as the champion, and the story was to get it to Joe Hendry. I have said this before and I'll say it again. I think the way that they ran the Slammiversary six man was not the best way to do it, because Moose was a champion for for at least a year since Hard to Kill. So it's been a while. Point is, Moose had been a champion. And if you're going to take all of that equity in the world championship and you're going to have it become some shock finish because Moose got pinned in the middle of the match. Therefore, oh my God, we're going to have a new champion. Suddenly, the prestige of winning the title from the guy who held it for so long is not as important. Nick Nemeth got it. People were mostly happy. He built up from there. He had good matches from there. The JBL stuff was atrocious. When they started that immediately, every single Nick Nemeth defense, except for one, included JBL. If there was a PLE or some sort of plus show, whatever it was, JBL would show up, except for the AJ Francis one, which makes me laugh because AJ Francis wasn't important enough for JBL to get out of bed. Instead, it's just the way it is. Sorry, AJ, did no JBL for you. Instead, JBL came out at all these shows and clotheslined everyone who wasn't Nemeth, Nick Nemeth specifically, because he took out Ryan Nemeth twice, which is hilarious. And then he took out Kazarian. And he took out Joe Hendry the first time. It was just, he was doing it what it feels like to pop himself. If he's going to come back, they got to explain it, because this has been going on for much too long and it's not making any sense. And they've never addressed it except for a handful of times when it just got kind of glossed over. I'm, like I said, I'm happy that Hendry won it. I think this is kind of his gold watch moment for TNA. Thank you for doing so much work. Thank you for building your stock with us. Thank you for becoming the star that you are. We know that you're going to end up in WWE next, but like, here, have it for the next 4 months. We'll see how it goes. We got a great, you know, lineup behind us that we can work with, and then you'll drop it and you'll move on. And like Cresta, you were saying, our dude is Santana and we'll move from there. Jensen, what are we going to do with Joe Hendry? We're going to rock him to the top, or are we just going to, you know, let him play out?
I guess we're going to let him play out. I mean, it's the whole thing. The whole thing with JBL is baffling because it isn't just TNA. Like, this was also happening parallel, like simultaneously in GCW, like very similar. Like, he helped Mance Warner retain the GCW World Championship. And then like they had their two big shows on the same night at the same time. So like he wasn't involved in some, what would have probably been a payoff in that. But that, to be fair, that happens at GCW fairly often. Like they get like a big name veteran wrestler and they show up and then they don't like fulfill the full time that they expect them to be there. But my point is that JBL, his gimmick just like randomly became the guy who shows up everywhere, hits a clothesline and leaves. But then you don't finish these stories. So it's just like, why did JBL do this? So, I mean, obviously I would expect and hope that TNA is going to fully explain this and, you know, make something make sense out of it. But at the end of the day, I am happy for Joe Hendry. Like, for, you know, I remember once again, years ago doing a post show with y'all when it was Joe Hendry and Moose for like the Digital Media Championship. And I remember back then being like, both these guys are underrated, like, you know, especially Joe Hendry at the time, because Moose had already been like a world champion and stuff. Joe Hendry, like in Cresta, was all about Joe Hendry. I mean, like, and you know, so it's one of those things where to a degree, it feels potentially a little too little too late. But at the same time, I'm happy for the guy and I hope things play out, you know, favorable for him. At the end of the day, it's all going to be worth the pop that he gets showing up the Royal Rumble with that title.
Oh, that's like, going to be so good.
Yeah. So that's really the big end game here. Cause I no disrespect to TNA, obviously they're a great company. They've been around forever. They're like the cockroach of pro wrestling. Like, you cannot kill TNA wrestling. Like, no matter what happens, who's in charge, who's on the show, they've been around since, you know, it's been over 20 years now. So like, there's something to be said about that. But at the same time, you can tell that Joe Hendry's real future is in the WWE at some point. Like, they clearly like him there. He's been involved already, and he's going to get a big pop at the Royal Rumble, and people are going to notice that. And, you know, so I think TNA should do the most they possibly can with Joe Hendry while they still have him, which would include things like getting Santana on top and getting a rub and getting, you know, put in a good position going forward. That's also something TNA needs to continue to do going forward. And that's partially why they've gotten themselves in the situation with Tessa Blanchard, because they need to do a better job of their homegrown talent, the young talent that people don't know from other shows previously, that they cultivate, they grow. So they don't have to feel like they're in a position when people leave, they have to go outside the company and potentially bring in people that are controversial instead of just having people ready to go. So, but at the end of the day, I think Joe Hendry is going to be a bigger star in the WWE, which makes sense. And, you know, everyone just kind of needs to be on the same page. And obviously it also massively helps now that WWE and TNA are in business with one another now. So like these transitions from company to company can be made way more seamlessly now too. They can literally be in the middle of storylines that are on NXT and TNA at the same time. And then they slowly just kind of shift into another show and stuff. And they're kind of all in the same universe. It's going to make it where everyone's going to eventually benefit when they get all to kind of figure it out.
I would piggyback on what you're saying, that Joe Hendry has a very WWE presentation, appearance, like not comparing people because everyone's different, but I know that works. I want to walk with Elias. I know that works. I know for a fact that works. And not, again, not comparing because these are two different wrestlers, two different entertainers, but it works. It works. And TNA carried it to the best of their ability. I think there is something to be said about not pushing your homegrown talent, or when you do have them, they very quickly seem to leave the door. I think this is a great rub for TNA. I am always going to be a champion for TNA. I think that more people need to put their eyes on this product. And I know it's not main roster, but I will say that if we could get some WWE girls having some stonkers with the girls in TNA, I would be happier than a pig in shit. I'm sorry. I know we're not supposed to curse, but this is that's an old saying. I'd be happier than God knows what, a Jordynne Grace versus a Rhea Ripley, or even Masha Slamovich versus a Charlotte Flair. The possibilities are endless. And you've got someone like a Joe Hendry, and I'll even go ahead and say Santana. I've heard people call him Canadian Kurt Angle. Josh Alexander would be amazing for the Rumble. If Josh Alexander's music hit during the Rumble, I'd pee myself.
Wow.
I think a lot of people have some bright futures with this partnership, I think. And, you know, I think, you know, Marshall Slamovich, I think, is somebody that's going to be very, 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 like, she's going to massively benefit from the exposure she's going to get in the WWE, because she's so different than, like, I love people who are great in the ring, but they're unique. And Masha has this uniqueness and like this badass about her that, like, you know, you could envision like her versus Oscar or something. You just know it's going to be like a banger, you know, like, I mean, so yeah, this is going to be, I'm very optimistic. And, you know, I think that, yeah, it's really cool because this just got announced technically like within like the last week or so. I mean, it's still pretty fresh news, this whole partnership. So
it was Thursday. It was Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was right after my show. Femi.
Yeah, man. Beat up by Obafemi. We're all gonna laugh. Last super chat before we hang it up for the night. AO Productions saying, could we see Joe Hendry on Raw tomorrow? Because Raw is in Dallas. I see Cressa, you're shaking your head. No. Steven Jensen, your feelings.
Sorry, I missed that last part. What did you say?
Could we see Joe Hendry on Raw tomorrow, because they're in Dallas as well?
I wouldn't bet against it. I wouldn't totally bet against it.
Maybe in the crowd.
I'm of two minds. Yeah, maybe in the crowd.
Yeah,
I'm of two
minds.
I think maybe they can tease something and be like, he has a big announcement, you know, on Thursday, so check it out. But also they might just do something for Tuesday, like not him live in NXT, but do a filming, you know, watch NXT on Thursday because we'll be in their house or whatever it is. So I wouldn't expect him on WWE programming. By the way, an update on Alley Catch, Steph DeLander, because of course TNA, there's always a connection there. Steph DeLander did tweet out, hey guys, in the hospital with Alley Catch, and she has broken her leg in two places.
Disgusting.
Currently awaiting to speak to an orthopedic surgeon on next steps. She set up a GoFundMe over on @StephDeLander on her Twitter page. We're going to share that. I'm going to tweet it out. I got to find a different place to put it because this is on her Twitter and I'm on Blue Sky. But either way, go if you can support Alley Catch through her injury and through her recovery, go ahead and do that. Steph DeLander posted a GoFundMe that I'm sure is going to go around very shortly. So wishing our best to Allie. Before we get out of here, let's plug the stuff. I'm going to start with Jensen. Let's go.
You can catch me tomorrow on FightfulSelect.com, either in the afternoon or evening time. I have to work my shoot job tomorrow. So like it'll be when I have a chance to record, but I was able, SP3, I see in the chat, thank you for always, you know, supporting and, you know, being involved. And I did catch GCW. I was watching it on the other screen here, but just kind of like to the side. So I'll have to get a little bit better idea of what you're talking about from the last couple of matches. But I am happy that Effie is the new GCW champion. Cole Roderick teased cashing the brass ring, which is a very interesting aspect as well. I'm a big Cole fan, obviously. Shout out to the Garbage Daddies for beating BIF tonight as well. If you want to know my full thoughts on GCW Hammerstein, the people for GCW, that'll be tomorrow, Fightful Select Weekend, or I'm dedicating the whole episode to just the Hammerstein review tomorrow. Anything else y'all want from me? Thursdays on Fightful Overbooked, me and Jeremy Lambert do the spotlight. We talk about WWE, AEW, indies, bunch of stuff. We have interviews for y'all as well. And there, I don't know if Jeremy's announced it yet or not, but I'll go ahead and I'll just officially do it because I hope y'all come and tune in. But the time is going to be changing soon. We're at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time and have been for quite a while. We are going to be moving to 6:30 p.m. on Thursday. So same day, just later in the day. It works out better for me and Jeremy's schedules. And I'm looking forward to the change because that means I don't have to keep waking up early before I do the shoot job. I'm like half asleep when I sign on for those shows and stuff. Like, I'm going to be way more awake. We're going to have a lot of fun. We can bring on people live and there won't be the hard out of me having to clock in for work right after. We can actually have some longer shows and stuff if we need to. So the spotlight on Fightful Overbooked, that's going to be for the next couple weeks. It'll still be at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. So please join us. And it'll be switching on the first week of February. I think it's February 6th, moving to 6:30 p.m. Eastern time on Thursdays. So that's everything I got. And once again, I hope that Allie catch a speedy recovery, and I'll tweet out links when I see them as well. Cause she, that was a nasty injury, tonight. And I've been a longtime supporter of Allie catch. And even when she was Allie cat back in the day. So I hope she gets better soon, and I'll pass it on to you, Cresta.
Hey guys, it's your girl, Cresta Star. Thank you so much for hanging out here, talking about wrestling with me and some of my favorite humans, whatever, in the whole wide world. I'm here every Thursday with Joel going over TNA, every Saturday here with Rick and Iridian, sometimes Sean Ross Sapp. We go over all things Collision, and TikTok is back, boys. So definitely follow me on TikTok over there. I do reactions to professional wrestling. If you're wondering what basement I crawled out from, it was TikTok. Hey, everywhere on social media, you can find Cresta Star, except for X, which is Cresta the Star, but I'm not really on Cresta Star. Cresta the Star on X. So please follow me on Blue Sky. There's a link tree in my bio. You can find all of my stuff, even a playlist of all of these post shows. All of these post shows. Yes, all of these post shows. Guys, thank you so much. I love you. You're fantastic. Watch pro wrestling and watch your ass. Joe Pearl, where can they follow you?
And wash your and sorry, not no, I'm
wash your ass. Yeah. We'll see you next time.
Going to be my new sign off. I am at the Joel Pearl, joelpearl.com, over on the Blue Sky. That's where I post most of everything. I am in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern with Jeremy Lambert. So that's in about 9 hours' time. And I'm going to be awake in about 5 hours' time. So I'm going to be sleep deprived tomorrow. Cresta Star and I are live every Thursday after TNA Impact to talk about the show. It's a live episode of Impact this week. First one in over 8 years. So get excited. We're going to be talking about that, covering that. And I'm sure y'all will join us. A lot of you join us. Over 11,000 of you hung out with us tonight. We really appreciate that across multiple platforms. Keep that up. Drop a comment if you're watching on YouTube. If you're audio, go ahead, drop 5 stars, leave some nice comments, and you can leave a thumbs up on the way out. You can join us here at Fightful, youtube.com/Fightful, and of course over FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business until next week when it's the best $6 in the business. We're going to find a better way to promote that, I promise. But either way, for Cresta, for Steven Jensen, I am who I am. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Hey, football fans. BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice, up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.